All right, turn your Bible to John chapter 15. We're going to finish this. We're going to dare to go into chapter 16. Okay, what I'm about to tell you, show you, might be a little, very disturbing and gruesome image of one of our sisters in the Lord who was persecuted for her faith in Jesus Christ. If you can stomach it, please look at her precious face. If you don't want it, you can close your eyes. There's no shame for that. And if you don't want your children to see it, let them not see it. Okay? With that said, are you ready? Close your eyes if you don't want to see it. Her name is Yubela Hogato, from small Christian village of Indonesia. In 2001, her village was been attacked by the anti-Christian group, most likely Muslims. And she was badly injured, and she tried to escape further injury. She was running, and she accidentally spilled kerosene, tipped over kerosene lamp. It ignited her and her face, and she was burned badly. Okay, take the slide away, please. Okay, you can open your eyes. Yubela still bears the scars on her face from this ordeal, not just her face, as well as her heart. After that incident, her husband left, high and dry. She had to move back to her brother's town, working in his farm, supporting herself and the two children. What was her charge to be injured like this? Her faith in Jesus Christ. But ordeal does not stop there. Her scar is not just going away. It gets renewed often because when the strangers see her face and recoil from the image, and her children comes back from outside and in tears, and because somebody called them her mom monster, her scars start all over again. The Voice of Martyr ministry, you know that famous ministry, helped her receive the multiple plastic surgeries and even helped her to have a small concrete block home in her brother's town. She's excited. And this is what she said. After the incident where I was burned and when my husband left, there was so much misery and suffering, but I received blessings from the Lord. I believe God has a plan for me, Yubela said. What kind of person does it take to say that after that kind of ordeal? We can easily say, I have a faith in Jesus Christ. Can we endure this kind of ordeal and still say, Jesus is my God? This is not an isolated case of persecution against Christianity. From the beginning of the 20th century to this date, Christians have been persecuted by Muslims and the Hindus around the world. And there are also the atheistic countries such as North Korea, Russia, China, Cuba. See all the dots? They are restricted nations. If you can notice that all this, the majority of them is concentrated in this Muslim area. The biggest enemy of Christianity in other religion-wise is the Muslim and the Hindu. They are vicious against Christianity. As of 2010, estimated by the Christian Missionary Organization, estimated 200 million Christians face persecutions daily. 100,000 Christians get killed, martyred every year. This is not the first century. This is 21st century, 20th century. You with me on that? And the recent study by the Vatican reported that the 75 out of every 100 people killed due to the religious hatreds are Christians. Some of you may think, well, that happens in third world country. That's what will happen in foreign country, not in America. For that kind of naive thinking, I have this question to ask you. Where have you been? Haven't you read? Haven't you seen what's going on? Obama administration is spearheading all the denouncement and the denials of Christianity in public places. He even said America is no longer a Christian country. Last time I checked, the majority is still Christianity, Mr. President. I don't know where he learned that kind of math, maybe from Harvard. Not only that, not only him, he's getting help from the ACLU, you know ACLU, American Civil Liberty Union, liberal media, Hollywood activists, and the Democrat Party, and the Planned Parenthood, Home Depot, and General Electric. And the wealthy billionaires like Warren Buffett and George Soros. Of course, behind all this, there's Satan. By the way, I no longer purchase things from the Home Depot unless I absolutely have to, because they blatantly support homosexual lifestyle. From TVs in the living room and classroom in the elementary school to the boardroom of corporate America and the conference room of local, state, and federal governments, Satan infiltrated every single place. And we are, folks, living in anti-Christian world. You agree? Jesus is not teaching anything new. He already taught his disciples about this many times and what's going to happen. His disciples just didn't hear it because they were busy bickering about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Just like many Christians would be bickering about who is more important in Christendom. I'm sure that by now you've noticed that today's teaching is not going to be normal study. And somewhat it's going to be political. Yes, I agree. And I admit that it's going to be political and without an apology. We'll stop and pray. Father, you didn't tell us to you didn't take us out of this world, but you left us in this world, but keep the world out of us. You didn't want us to be isolated, but rather insulated from this world. That we may spread the word of God to the world, but not the world influence us. Father, prepare our heart. Learn from our brothers and sisters who are willing to die for your glory. Let our heart be strong, stand firm, and armed with your word, and spreading the love of Jesus Christ and the holiness of God to this dying, decaying world. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is teaching his disciples and us here about the upcoming persecution against Christianity. Instead of covering the portion verse by verse like I usually do in sequential order, I'm going to kind of categorize as I teach you. So I want you to pay attention, stay awake with me, okay? If I see you fall asleep, you remember what I did? I can come to you, right? I can come to you. So stay awake. Yeah, I have a lady designated too. We need to clarify the definition of the world. There are three of them I find in the scripture. By the way, Greek word for the world is cosmos. Of course, we get the word cosmos in similar spelling starting with a C. First thing is a created world. John 1:10. You don't need to turn it. You know this. It said, He was in the world. The world was made through Him. Are you guys hot? Yes? No? Huh? Never mind. Sorry I asked. And the second world is the world of humanity. John 3:16. God so loved the world. That's, of course, that's humanity. Third case. This is the problem. The society that blatantly opposes or pretends to standing neutral to God. We sometimes use the phrase world systems to specifically designate this one. In verse 18 that we are going to see is a case in point. As a Christian, we must be careful not to love the world, nor should we be conformed to the world. Go to keep your finger in John chapter 15. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, please. Some of you guys know this by heart. Do not love the world and know things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So why the world system, including the religious world, hate Christians who are not doing anything against them? Why do they hate us who believe in Jesus Christ and should seek to follow him? Jesus brings to us four different reasons. Number one, we find in verse 18 of chapter 15 in John. Back to chapter 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. They are not hating us without reason. They are hating us because we have Jesus in our heart. That's the reason. Then go down to verse 20, please. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they all will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Listen, world does not worship Jesus Christ by any means, or nor do they follow his commandment. God's word goes against what they wanted to do. You with me on that? God's word goes against what they want to do. That's why they hate him and hate his commandment. We who follow his commandment are the living and constant reminder to them. It is no wonder why they hate us. If with all his greatness and perfection, Jesus' perfection and miracles, he did not escape their persecution, with all the imperfection we have, how can we escape that? We cannot. Second reason why they persecute us is that we do not belong to the world. We do not belong to the world. Verse 19. Go back to the verse 19, please. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. When we trust God, Jesus Christ, we move into a new spiritual position. Now we are in a new creation, new creature, new in Christ, and out of this world. This doesn't mean that we should isolate ourselves in the world Christian community and buying the Christian soap and Christian shampoo and the Christian cars and only communicate with us and we could care less about the dying world. That's not what he says. I'm sure that we all have heard a really, really dumb phrase. Somebody so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. I'm sure you heard that, right? It's a dumb thing to say, dumb thing to do. Rather, we should look at the things of the earth from the God's point of view. Then we even despise our own sins as he despised our sins. God loves us, but he despises our sins. Do you know that? Jesus said this to the Father in heaven in his prayer on the way to the Gethsemane from the upper room. And he's saying this. And let's skip and do the preview of chapter 17, verse 15. A couple pages to the right, chapter 17, verse 15. I'm having a hot flash. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. You see, the world system does not like any defectors. As long as a person follows the fads and fashions and follows their guidelines, they don't care. You're one of them. But once you walked away from them and you become a new creation in Jesus Christ, all of a sudden they zero down on you, put the crosshair on you, and they are no longer friend to you. Some of you may use the drug before. Some of you may had drinking buddy, you know, brewski buddies. After work, you hit the bars, and you drink until your nose get crooked, and you know that time. Once you got saved, what happened to them? Are they still your buddies? No. Why? They don't like you anymore. Because you remind them Jesus Christ. And they don't want to be with you because even if you don't say anything, they get convicted. We are the light of the world and salt of the earth. This carnal world does not want the light of God exposing their dark side, nor do they want the salt in their decaying and rotting societies. Now, listen please. Socialism is one of the perfect tools that make the people in the same mold. Let me say it one more time. Socialism is one of those perfect tools that make the people into the same mold. They say in their ideology that everyone is equal. Sounds good. There's nobody who's too rich, nobody who's too poor, and everyone gets the same equal treatment, whether you work hard or you do nothing, you lazy bum, that's fine. Everyone gets paid equal. You can have a factory, but government owns that thing. If you have a lot of money, we'll take it away from you as a tax and give it to the poor. What are you, Robin Hood? They think they are. Of course, the one who are in control are the exceptions. And their wealth and their comfort is above all. Why? Because they are untouchable. Do you want to see this good example? Obamacare. They want everybody to be in the side of this Obamacare, but the Congress and the executive branch, president, vice president, are they in the Obamacare? No, they're not. Here is a tremendous book you must read. I asked our bookstore manager to get it for us. This book When Nations Forget God, Seven Lessons We Must Learn from the Nazi Germany. Written by Owen Lutzer, he is a senior pastor of a Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois, whom I greatly respect. He's drawing a parallel line, what happened in the Nazi Germany in 1930s to 40s, and what's happening in the United States. By the way, Nazi means National Socialism. Do you know that? Nazi means National Socialism. It seems that majority of people in America were spellbound by the rhetoric of the false hope and change by Barack Hussein Obama and Democrat Party in 2008 presidential campaign. And some people still are not awakened from that nightmare. If Obama get reelected, listen carefully, please. I know many Christians voted for him because whatever dumb, stupid reason. And you are thinking, oh, I voted for him, you just offend me. Well, let me tell you this. What is Obama standing for? Abortion. Isn't that good enough for you? Abortion means a killing baby inside the mother's womb. You continue to support him. You continue saying, kill baby. Go for it. Ask God. What would God say about that? Forget about the Republican. Forget about the Democrat. If he get reelected, there's nothing will stop him on earth. Humanly possible, there's nothing will stop him from doing whatever he chooses to do. With the possibility of the re-election, he already damaged this country this much with homosexuality. By the way, just in case you haven't heard from me, I'm going to make it clear to you, homosexuality is perversion. It's not a lifestyle. It's not another lifestyle. It's a simply perversion. God didn't mean it that way. And man, perverted man, choose to do it that way. Perverted woman choose to do it that way. If he get reelected, he will change the land of the free to the socialism, to the core. But those who are in control will never, never get out of that power. Do you know why they're trying to? Listen carefully, please. I'm treading very thin line here. Hispanic brothers and sisters, you know I don't have a problem with the racism. Well, look at me. Right? Do I look like a honky? I don't have a problem alien coming into this country. That's how we made this country great. They come here legally. They come here to work. As American together, I don't have a bit of a problem. Learn English. Don't say, if you want Spanish, press 2. They shouldn't be there. This country has English. I learned to learn English. Not good, but I'm still learning. But then again, I'm finding out a lot of Americans don't speak good English either. So what's your excuse? Democrats want the illegal alien to have amnesty so they can have a voting bloc. Do you know that? Wake up, America. Mark my word. If Obama go back into the White House, he will ruin this country. It will be too late. Please don't think that I'm one of those hardcore Republican, that I will badmouth against the Democrat no matter what. Yes, I'm a registered Republican, but I despise some of the things the Republicans do. And some of them are no different than Democrat. They're all grasping for power. The only thing they care about is getting a power. They wet their fingers and stick in the air, trying to feel for where the current is coming from. They don't care about God. They don't have a fear of God. By the way, any liberal church can say this kind of thing without the fear of the IRS coming down, taking the tax exemption status from their church. They can do that. But if any Bible teaching church do this kind of thing, we would be on the chopping block of IRS. So would I hold back? Do I look like holding back? This is going to be on the internet. MP3 file and sermon note as is. I don't care. Go for it. Be a satanic snitch. Go get the number from the IRS. And report me. Throw me in the jail. It would be an honor for me to go into jail for the sake of Jesus Christ. Well, I have a jail ministry there. That's right. Third reason why the world hates Christians. The world is spiritually ignorant and blind. Spiritually ignorant and blind. Verse 21. But all these things they will do for you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Now go down to verse 1 of chapter 16. These things I have spoken to you, that we should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that they offer God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. If you ask any of the Pharisees, those religious rulers at the time, first century, if you ask them, do you know God of heaven? Oh, they will say, oh yeah, we do. Our Israelis known the God of heaven from the beginning. They can quote chapters. They can quote the verses. But do they personally know God as mentioned in verse 3? Back to verse 3, please. And these things they do to you because they, what does it say? They have not known the Father nor Jesus. Alex Piergetti, he's one of our missionaries. He's in Brazil. He's in a slum area. He doesn't live in the fancy home. He lives in the slum apartment with the rest of the slum neighborhood. He teaches children. His ministry is for the children's ministry. He's in the slum where the all the poverty is stricken and the child prostitution, gambling, drug, illegal drugs, pornography, and alcoholism. But the ugly part, he can deal with that. The ugly part of the opposition is not from those things, but rather coming from Catholic, coming from Protestant churches, already established churches. They're fighting against this man, the man of God, because it's tough war. Can you believe that? Another good example. Friend of mine, Pastor Craig Rodas. He's a senior pastor of the Calvary Chapel, Oro Valley. Before he became a pastor of the church, he got fired from one of the liberal church in Tucson. He was a youth pastor. He taught youth with the Word of God from the Bible. They fired him. The reason? Too much Word of God, too much Jesus. You got to go. Because the kids got getting saved left and right, and the parents getting saved. They cannot have that kind of such a nonsense in a liberal church, could they? They did. They do away with him. The religious world today claims to know God, but it does not want to bow the knees to the Jesus Christ, God, the Savior, only Savior of the world. Satan has blinded their heart, blinded their mind, and the sin blinded their hearts. Like a Saul of Tarsus, on the way to Damascus, he thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting this sect. God knocked him down from the high horse, literally. And these religious people think that their religion and doing good once in a while is good enough for God. In the name of their religion, they persecute the God's people. Fourth reason why they persecute the Christians is the world is not be honest with about their sin. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sins. He who hates me hates my Father also. Verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have sinned and also hate both me and my Father. Throughout the Bible, the Lord makes it very clear to us that humans have no excuse for their sins. I'm sure you come across somebody, well, what about these people in this far country? What about these people in Eskimo and South Pole? First of all, there's no Eskimo in the South Pole. It's only North Pole. Not even the North Pole, actually. And what about Pygmy in New Guinea? Well, they are not in New Guinea. They are in Africa. So they didn't have a back straight either. What about them? What about you? When you ask them, no, don't worry about them. God can reach them. But what about you? Why you are not giving your heart to Jesus? The reason why they come up with all these questions is that they don't want to face the reality. Though all the evidence have been presented, they are not honest enough to receive and repent from their sin because they love their sins. You with me on that? They love their sins. The Americans even have less excuses. They have heard the truth and they choose to ignore the truth. Maybe they are thinking that they ignore God long enough, maybe God will say, all right, you won. We'll compromise. Shucks. That's not going to happen. We have a Greek word for that, right? Hogwash. Good. 2 Peter 3:5 says, for this they willfully forget. They willfully forget. All right, last portion, verse 25 in chapter 15. So how do we fight within this carnal world? Here it is. But this happened, and the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear the witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. How does the Holy Spirit encourage believers when they are experiencing the hatred and opposition of the world? Primarily through the Word of God. That's why I encourage you to memorize the verses. That's why I ask you to read the Word every day. If you are willing to feed your physical body, you should feed your spiritual body with the Word of God. It's a daily bread. It's a living water. You cannot get anything better than that. Until the Lord returns until we die, we must live in this hostile world and face opposition against Christianity continuously. How can we do it? What is the secret of our victory? The presence and the power of the Spirit of the living God within us. Remember, without Him, we can do what? Say it again with me. Without Him, we can do nothing. Two applications. Number one, as a born-again Christians, we can expect the persecution from this carnal world. Stay true to the Word of God. It's not you might, okay? You will face persecution. Degrees might be different. Number two, one compromise with the world by us is one step farther away from the Lord, one step close to the self-destruction. You with me? All right, stand up and pray.